Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
What's up, Anthony?
It's a dangerous question to ask on live radio without knowing the answer. Was everything okay with Mac? is he good?
That is amazing.
Your laughter would indicate
he's fine.
I don't know. I think there's some kind of like HIPAA law or something like that. They can't talk about. I don't know. I don't sit there and ask him all these questions. And I just know the guy couldn't go today. All right, go ask him. I'm tired of answering this question about this guy.
He's at cottage in Canada. He's fishing.
Oh, okay.
This is a scheduled vacation.
Okay, good.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, fishing.
It's only funny because of who you're asking about, and he would say
it could be anything.
Could be anything. With
it,
that,
could,
right?
It could be okay. Anything.
I don't know. Atmospheric pressure. I don't know. Altitude above the sea level.
But yes, this was a scheduled
all
time
right,
off for
right.
Mac. That's amazing that wasn't communicated.
I
to
wish
you.
Nothing but the best for Mac.
No, of course, we all do.
We buried him on a hill. Overlooking a little river with pine cones all around.
You did?
Come on, Janice. What do you care what we did with him?
Are you all right?
Is everything okay with Mac?
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
I'm back in the
saddle again. Find
it! He's back! We all missed him very much.
Yep.
Back from cottage.
You and I are radio's toxic twins. Aerosmith's Joe Perry and Steven Tyler were rock and roll's toxic twins. We're the toxic twins of the Score, and we're back.
I'll take it, man. Almost here, football season.
Hi, man. I am so excited about that. You know, a bunch of football news to greet me when I get back. I still haven't plowed through episode 2 of Hard Knocks. I plan to give that a spin tonight. I'm hoping it's better.
Enjoy it.
I went into the first episode with a bad attitude, though, because I had a... This is why I don't like to read movie reviews before I go to the movie. I will, but I don't like to because it gives me a predisposition, and I was looking for a formula... And immediately found a formula, and it occurs to me, stop looking. You know, if the formula works, let it work, and don't be critical of it. But the first episode was, in a word, uneventful.
Exactly. Okay, well, then do you even want my review of episode 2? I can hold it for tomorrow. I don't want
that football?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Love it. Yeah? You going to work at it, or are you just going to watch it? You're scratching yourself,
that's
watching TV.
I'll just tell you this. Better.
Okay.
You can decide how much better or if you agree, but it's better.
Has the head coach called anybody a slap Richard yet?
He has not.
Okay, that's got to be coming unless he has veto authority and says no on it. And they do give coaches veto authority.
They do. He gets to see whatever footage before they put it out. And who knows what of this Antonio Brown situation is going to be in this most recent episode.
Well, and it might be the right guy to unveil that for. He might be the slap Richard I'm looking for.
We actually played the, you know how when we have Dan Plesek on, we play the Dan game?
Right.
Tanny put together the man game for episode 2. The number of times John Gruden said, man.
Yeah, that's good.
Come on, man. And it's fantastic. And yeah, I hope episode 3 is good. Antonio Brown was at practice today, but that was one of the weirder NFL stories that I can remember. A guy pushing his way out of Pittsburgh to get a new contract. So going from a great organization to a bad organization, getting more money in the process, saying when he gets there, I want to be a leader, showing up with frozen feet from his own cryotherapy experiment in Paris.
Yeah.
And then not liking the helmet.
Not liking the helmet, a no-show, just a lot of bad stuff. And I was hoping a change of scenery would do him some good because as Derek Carr said in episode 1, why wouldn't you want this guy? He's the best receiver in pro football, and I believe he is, and he does it at 5'11".
Yeah, I think that there's a tier now of guys that some of it is circumstantial. Like, DeAndre Hopkins has put up numbers that comp to Antonio Brown, but never with a Hall of Fame quarterback. So, like, would DeAndre Hopkins have worse numbers than Antonio Brown if he had Ben Roethlisberger? I don't really know. So, I he's in a tier with Julio and Hopkins and all of that.
He does acrobatics on the sideline catch, though, that keeping both toes down, that is in a league of his own.
And by production, he's in a league of his own.
Yes, he is.
A 7-year stretch that the only guy who can comp to it is Jerry Rice.
Catches, yards per catch, touchdowns. He's either one or two in all of those categories for 6-7 years now.
This hour,
we all know that AB is not here today, right? So here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that. Okay, but at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in or all out. Okay, so we're hoping he's back soon. We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a big part of it starting week one against Denver. End of story. No question.
I got to say, I got a lot of respect for Mike Mayock for that. He said that yesterday, and Antonio Brown was in camp today. That is a general manager calling out a high-profile star player. And I assume he did it with the backing of his coach and at least some leaders in that locker room. Because all in or all out, if Antonio Brown bucked, they could have a grievance and void the rest of his contract for him not showing up to work.
Absolutely.
So that's a guy going all in and calling his receivers bluff, and less than 24 hours later, Antonio Brown's at camp.
You ever hear the Parliament Funkadelic?
It's a great job by Antonio Brown, or by Mike Mayock.
Yeah, I'm uncertain. I think most of us are uncertain until we get 3 or 4 years of work from Mike Mayock, what type of personnel manager he's going to be in his first shot as a general manager. But I agree. I think it's what he should have done, but it's not often what's done.
Correct.
Usually guys don't want to comment at all.
Oh, I have no idea how he'll be as a general manager overall. And you know I sold all my Raiders stock. They just hired people from television and then drafted Clemson and Bama players.
That is my only critique that is, you know, of Ryan Pace, if I can localize it here, is that he doesn't make himself more available when it's necessary. This was a situation the Raiders general manager deemed necessary to take a stance.
Yeah.
And let those 89 guys he talked about, but that's great for him. 40 of them are going to be saying, do you want to supersize that in a few weeks? But that's the right thing to do, and I wish that Ryan made himself more available. It's just the way the Cubs general manager and vice president do right here on their flagship. It's good to have relations with your audience, and that's who listens to The Score and who listens to BBM when Nagy does his Monday. This Bears fans who listen, give them your thoughts so it's not left up to imagination and interpretation.
Yeah, and Pace's a couple of minute pregame radio hit is not exactly full transparency. Oh. If we're being totally honest,
it's a commercial.
I will say though, just in the Matt Nagy Ryan Pace relationship, they haven't had a crisis yet. I mean, Cody Parkey, if you want to say that, but they've been.
I'll say it. Well, that was a crisis.
Yeah, but they were. The season ended. Like, there was all sorts of media availability scheduled after it happened. Like, it's not like Ryan Pace was tough to find after the Cody Parkey incident.
You know, you're right. It was a year free of crisis. There were not any major injuries. There were not any conflicts between players. I don't remember hearing anything about conflict between assistant coaches and each other or the players they coach.
There wasn't suspensions.
It was harmonious in year one for Matt. It's not always going to be that way, and we'll see how they handle it when it does go belly up, because it's going to.
Of course, and that was the point. Like, it was a really smooth sailing year one. Roquan Smith's holdout ended. They traded for Khalil Mack. They won 12 games, and then crisis happened as their season ended, and all of the players went away to get away from it, and the only people who had to deal with it were Pace and Nagy. So they will have conflict, and it'll be interesting to see how they handle it, because I thought Mike Mayock handled that conflict beautifully.
What's up next for our beloved Bears? Who do they have this week who they will play a bunch of guys we won't...
Colts in Indianapolis on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, this hour on the
Score. Cool. We don't have to talk about it the next day.
There you go. This hour is brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. I'm telling you, He's my spirit animal for the preseason, man. It is beautiful how Matt Nagy is handling this. And yes, he freed up a lot of our time Friday night so that we could just watch Bill Walton. It was
and listen to Bill Walton, too.
So if anyone didn't catch Bill Walton on the White Sox game, and we're giving away Cubs tickets later on this hour, so hang out with us the whole time. But Taney decided to encapsulate some of the sounds of Bill Walton to try to get his essence down into about 60 seconds. It's a
Bill Walton is here.
Sorry.
Bill Walton is here.
Oh, clunky on a Monday here. Sorry, I'm stepping over you.
We suck, man. I just was
this
saying,
is what happens when two guys who are doing a show together can't see each other. That'll all be rectified when we reunite Thursday.
God, we had been pitching a perfect game with that, though, Taney. I'm pointing two thumbs squarely at me. It was a very tough task, but Chris Tannehill was up for it.
Bill Walton is here.
And your name?
It's Jason Still.
Okay. Who's right. playing tonight?
Yeah!
Oh. Bam! Oh, man. I'm much better at getting high than getting low. Whoa, I love prisms. Orange County, Naranja. If this lasts for more than 4 hours, call your doctor. Do you like bones in your fish?
Yeah!
Oh, my goodness! Gosh, please, try to keep me anchored to the planet. Oh, he hit him in the head.
Yeah, and go, this is go,
right.
go.
The Sox this is going to be a run. Chico Ruiz would have scored on that.
Come on!
The crowd is awesome. I don't need any direction to get high. Where's Chet Kopic to come and tell the real story? Give Ricky a contract extension.
Is it data or data?
Wales. Yes. Isn't that where Garrett Thomas is from? Oh, my gosh. Ooh. Snag this. Don't let it go over the fence.
Oh,
what a catch. No.
Dead back.
Send him home. Do you like colors?
Come on.
This is brilliant.
Let's all just say a prayer, a collective prayer for the passing of Peter Fonda today.
Go. Come on. The fence, let's go.
Oh, man.
Devil in the White City. There it goes. Oh, my gosh. Put Ricky in the Hall of Fame today. Go, go.
I think he's out. I don't know what the rule is.
Yeah, okay. Greatest defensive play I've seen tonight. Strike him out. Yeah. Let's go.
I apologize on behalf of the human race for destroying your broadcast.
It was a thing.
Wow.
Man. It was just nonstop something fun.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Chico Ruiz, man, that's a deep cut. That is Bill spending time in Southern California much of his life. The late Angels star died at the age of 33, I think in 1971 or 7. That is a deep cut. That's, I think it was, is he thinking Chico Caris? Who's he thinking of? No, Chico Ruiz, I reminded of, was an Angel way, way back when.
The thing with watching that broadcast live was Walton stumbled into really salient, interesting points that I wanted to hear more of, and then he would be distracted by a foul ball. Like, you know what I mean? It was there was no one.
Get some offense going.
Yeah!
Oh, wrong direction. Sorry. Oh, my gosh. What a crowd here tonight.
Like, there was just no thread through the whole thing. And there was nothing Benetti could do. That's the essence of Bill Walton. But it was just it was a hell of a broadcast.
It was stream of consciousness
yes.
coming from Big Red. And I didn't hear it because I was out of the country and didn't get to it this morning on the DVR. But I'm glad we've played a bunch of it because it sounds like it was a very positive experience, and a lot of people on social media were all over the White Sox. And if it bumps them up a little bit in their ratings for one night, when not many people are thinking about a team that's 13, 14 games below 500, very much good for them. I say bring more of it on. I'm all for it.
And poor James McCann, you know, he just catches nine innings, and they kept him for his post-game interview for like 6 minutes.
No.
Like they kept giving him chances to walk away, but, you know, Walton wouldn't let him go there.
James, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Nice work.
You're still all dressed up in your gear, man. Nobody's coming after you, James. Take that stuff off.
It'll be off shortly.
What does that black stuff on your eyes do for you?
You know, it helps the glare.
So what does Ricky tell you guys post-game after an impressively epic, monumental, and historic victory like this in routing the Angels? What was the final score there?
7-2.
7-2. He tells us to enjoy the evening and get ready to come back and do it again tomorrow.
There's another game tomorrow?
Every day, Bill. It's a little different than basketball.
Every
we gotta play
day?
Every day.
Hey, go hit the showers. Congratulations.
And
all
take
right,
some of that
you.
Gear off there. How do you get the makeup off?
Oh, it's real easy. Just a
really?
Couple of wipes.
Albeline?
All right. Y'all take care.
I gave you a chance. Get out of here.
Much
love, James.
Nice to meet you.
Congratulations. What a game. What a performance.
It was incredible.
Man, he couldn't wait to take those headphones off. I got to run, guys.
6 minutes post-game. That's ridiculous.
That's a bit much.
Yeah. You say to do something new. I think Benetti deserves a lot of credit for putting his stamp on that broadcast as quickly as he has, given that he replaced this larger-than-life personality who had become synonymous with White Sox broadcasts and Hawk Harrelson. Could not be more different. Hawk the ex-jock, catchphrases, gimmicks, Benetti...
The 67 Red Sox.
Yeah, but Benetti, sabermetrically inclined, really, really intelligent and well-read, Sox math, inviting new people into the booth. Steve Stone is reinvigorated.
Yes, it is an enormous contrast in styles and backgrounds. And the way the White Sox as an organization did it by slowly integrating Benetti, because Hawk only did road games.
Correct.
For a year or a year and change.
And then the Cubs Sox
game. He'd give you a little taste and get you. I think that's a very smart way about going about doing it. When you have a very popular... And whether you loved him or hated him, he was a big part of White Sox tradition, Hawk Harrelson. You're replacing Chip Carey as Len did. I think that, for me, I thought that was a little bit easier from Len's standpoint because I didn't find Chip to be very popular among Cubs fans. I thought most people thought he was very fortunate to have the job because he was simply a member of the Lucky Sperm Club.
Well, you're not replacing a legend.
No, you sure weren't.
Replacing a legend is a very, very tough thing to do. They always say you want to replace the guy who replaced the legend. And Benetti replaced the legend, whatever you thought about him or not. But could you imagine a Hawk Harrelson broadcast where they're soliciting feedback from the audience with hashtags on social media?
No.
Right? Hell no. It's just a modern thing. And I think Benetti has done a fantastic job. And what you saw over the weekend, which got all of that social media buzz and the write-ups on Yahoo and Awful Announcing and Profile on MLB Network, none of that happens if it's not for Jason Benetti.
We talked earlier today a little bit about the idea of more of this down the road, and we threw out a few names, and some of our texters threw names back at us, and I don't think we mentioned many of them. A few guys suggested Craig Robinson. I'd be up for that.
Of course.
I'm a fan of his work. I mean, what I've seen of him in the comedic stoner films I've seen him do.
You liked him as the doorman in, what was that, 40-Year-Old Virgin?
This is the End, I think, is my favorite.
He's
the doorman
incredible.
In 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, remember where he's like, doorman? She's trolling him for being a doorman. He's talking about how hurtful it is.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't remember that.
When he says that they're too old to get into the club.
Okay.
When she's trying,
old, I shouldn't be out here anyway.
Yeah, you're pregnant, you're old, trying to get into the club. Yeah, the doorman in 40-Year-Old Virgin, one of the bad guys in Pineapple Express, and then, of course, This is the End.
Yeah, take your panties off.
He's got a nice little niche in the Seth Rogen comedy community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything to make, I say this all the time.
The Office as well.
Of course, The Office. Anything to make regular season baseball that is otherwise irrelevant... temporarily relevant,
correct,
is a great thing and should be tried. And that's not a knock or a shot at the White Sox. That's the vast majority of these games, the vast majority of days. Now, for them, they struggle with ratings more and the team is out of it in contention and all of that. So they should try more things like that. But baseball needs things like the Williamsport Classic or Field of Dreams. Just things to generate a little bit of buzz to break up the monotony of a baseball season.
Yeah, agree. We have agreed on far too much today.
We can find something to disagree with.
Let's do it organically.
Okay.
We don't have to travel too far to find it. I didn't think that doorman scene was in 40-Year-Old Virgin, and we are being flooded by texters, knocked up, which I don't know as well. As I know 40-Year-Old Virgin, because I was really mad, and I was distracted for a second. Why am I? I've seen the film 15 times. What doorman scene? There's no Craig Robinson in 40-Year-Old.
Sorry,
he puts
his wife in all of the movies. So
right, Apatow's wife's in. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
I didn't love Knocked Up. I didn't care for that quite as much as a lot of the other ones from that sort of genre.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, but not nearly as funny, like you said, as the other. Superbad is probably my favorite Seth Rogen movie, and that just debuted 12 years ago yesterday.
Yeah, Van was quoting it over the weekend, and to his dissatisfaction, I didn't pick up on it because I'm not as super baddie as I should be. More than I should be, but I have not seen that film as much as I should, which I've watched all of my kids, who are similar to you guys in age, a little bit younger, but I've seen all of those, but I haven't seen that one as much. I didn't love that one as much as I did some of the others either.
Superbad to me, it just, most of those comedies that try to get emotional and touching at the end don't stick the landing. It's like, be funny.
Yeah.
And then you go 20 minutes too long trying to tie up the, the rom-com notion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Superbad has an unbelievable ending. I think that that is such a relatable high school drama. You're going away to college, and they go up and down the escalator. Like that movie really tugs at my heart.
There you go.
Anyway, it's a great film. It really is.
Superbad hits home.
Before you left for Syracuse, did you have a high school buddy you cuddled up with?
No.
Like the two of them did before college?
Nor a meaningful high school girlfriend. I'm just saying it was relatable to people I knew. Not exactly my life.
Yeah, the scene I couldn't remember my son mentioned to me was when he had to sing at the park. Because
when he's in the room with the guys doing all the blow.
Yes, I remembered the scene barely, but Van starts laughing at the song that we played. I was listening to a bunch of songs from my hard drive, and it was a really corny. Was it America? Right? Was it I Need You?
The
flower needs the rain. You know, it was a really cheesy. You know,
really cheesy.
Soft
he goes
rock
really
song.
High. Like his voice gets up there. It's voice cracking, and then it gets broken up by the fight.
I'm like, why are you cracking up? He goes, don't you remember Michael Cera doing this? Yeah. No, I don't.
Michael Cera, this is the end. Solid cameo for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, really was. He was really pleasant in that, wasn't he?
He really. That's an underrated comic as well. I'm going to give that another spin.
Yeah, I have to admit, even for me, the scene where they break into him, the bathroom and Michael Cera is in there and has a woman on each side of him.
Yeah.
That was jaw-dropping even for me to consume.
Were you a little uncomfortable?
No.
Okay, well, you said even for me.
Wanted more. Okay. I just wasn't expecting
it. You wanted the front shot.
Right.
I got it.
I mean, I think of Michael Cera. I think of this little cute little kid from Juno who got his girlfriend, who wasn't even really his girlfriend, knocked up the first time he had sex.
These Eyes by the Guess Who?
These Eyes, that's it. Yeah, I was listening to the best of the Guess Who. These Eyes, da-da-da-da-da. Cry every night for you. That's the one. Okay, thank you.
He does these impressions. Yeah. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A scholarship to go to college. I got an internship. I worked my tail off because the harder you work, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get every job that you desire or whatever, but it'll give you at least a platform of a presentation where you may have an opportunity to walk in the door and give yourself a chance. And that's all I wanted in my life, Lawrence, is a chance. Just like you, just like Herb, just like the men and women here. Just give me a chance. And that's why when I was sports director at GN, and we had Ryan Baker, we had Mitch Rosen, we had Dan McNeil, we had a lot of these people come through. And I said, you know what? We're gonna mold the internship, not to just get coffee. We're going to give these young people a chance to do their thing.
I am among those lucky enough to be on the Chuck Swirsky tree. I began doing an internship for Swirsky at WGN Radio 720 on your AM dial up on Bradley Place 2801 specifically 34 years ago today. First day in the office, 34 years ago today. And I can remember so much of it so vividly, Parkins. It's sick. It makes me feel a little bit like Les Grobstein. I remember the stories in August of 85 too damn clearly. Pete Rose was trying to make a run at the consecutive games. Hits record, I believe it was stopped at 44. Mike Ditka was entering year number four as head coach of the Bears. The station had just reacquired the rights, and it was quite a buzz in the town over. The Cubs were awful that year. I think they lost 12 or 13 in a row in August that year after a division championship season for the first time in my lifetime in 1984 and the first Cubs playoffs many of us tasted for a long, long time. It was 39 years between playoff appearances. But I remember all of it. I'm very grateful that Chuck took me under his wing, and happy birthday to me.
34 years ago.
Yeah, what a relic.
How many more?
I don't know.
Well, you said you did all this introspection.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
Can't do it. It'll come back Wednesday. We're going to do a few more, Danny.
Okay, no, good.
If they let us.
Well, of course.
If they let us do it.
We don't own the station. But no, that's so 34 years ago from your first professional internship, but you had done student media before that?
Yeah, I did the Ball State stuff, sure.
Yeah, okay.
But that was actually working with Swirsk. And I was, you know, and I it's difficult to encourage kids to go into broadcasting today based on...
You're telling me.
...the really deformed nature that talk radio has, you know. Anyway, I won't get much into that, but... I would encourage you to meet somebody who can assist you. And while I wasn't very bright as a young man, I was bright enough to realize I should hitch my wagon to somebody whose work I admired. And I think it was my sophomore year at Ball State when I first approached Chuck at Chicago Stadium when he was doing the PA for Bulls games and got to know him a little bit, networked with him, and tried to get together with him my senior year to sort of plant the seeds for him helping me get the internship. And he wanted to do it on Thanksgiving Day, and I thought it was the brush off. But I had no family plans. Thanksgiving, I senior, I'm 23 years old. You know,
sure.
I'm more interested in having lunch with Swirsky.
Yeah.
So I called. So I'll meet you there. What time do you want to meet? He gave me 2 hours, and we sat and talked on Thanksgiving. Yep. And in the spring when I had my interview, it wasn't with Chuck. It was with the personnel, the HR director, and the assistant program director. I'm walking out the door, and Chuck happens to be walking right by. And I said hello to Chuck. He goes, Danny McNeil, Ball State University in Muncie. How's it going? Yes, Stigsmeyer, the sports information director. And it's Bob Manowith, who we lost a few years ago, said to Chuck, should I hire this guy? And Swirsk says, I'd hire him today before somebody else does. And that's, you know, little moments like that where the world just tips in your favor for a minimum wage job, mind you, but a job that happened to spawn some pretty good things, and I've been pretty lucky along the way.
Well, it's things like that, man. The first break is the biggest. It's one of the things that I tell kids, because I talk to quite a few of them just from the Syracuse connection, and I try to make myself accessible on social media and if people want me on their podcast or anything like that. But kids get dispirited because you can do all these great things in student media and podcasting and write your own website and all these great opportunities. And then it's like, all right, well, it's time for someone to pay me to do this. And that first paid gig is so hard to be viewed as a professional instead of a student. It's the toughest job you'll get. And I try to tell kids that the first job that you can get that someone will pay you, it in theory should, if you do a good job at that paid gig, get easier from there because someone has taken that leap of faith that they are willing to
right.
use their very limited resources that this industry has these days
right.
to actually pay you to do it, because so many people are doing it as a hobby, and that's great. You could do it as a podcast for free, do it for a website for free, whatever the case may be, and if you're doing it for a hobby, that's fine. But if you want to do it as a professional, you've got to be able to monetize your dollar and your time.
Yeah, and because of a lot of people who abused their positions in broadcasting and in film, the internship programs, as we once knew them in America, have been abolished. Almost nationwide. I don't know of many
operations. You can have paid internships, but
I'd like to have paid producers first.
Well, that's the thing. That's what happened to it. We had...
you know what I'm saying?
No, I get it. That's the industry. It was, and for us, I was able to intern across the street for you and for Salisbury and Rosenblum back to back summers for college credit.
Right.
And
that's your reward.
That was my reward.
And good lunches every day.
You know, good lunches and experience and contacts and phone numbers and people willing to listen to my stuff. And yeah, getting, Harry's hot chocolate and Yurko's Kreplach soup and you know, all of it. But that was what knowledge is my reward, sir. Like that's what it was.
Michael McDermott.
And yeah, it's not great because it is unpaid labor, and that was abused in a lot of places. So I'm all for getting paid for what you do. But if I could choose having that avenue still available for kids or have it be eliminated entirely, I would choose for it to still exist.
I would also, and I hold out hope that someday it will return to forward-thinking operations who I keep tabs on people so unfortunate situations don't present themselves. And
right.
it's you know, you talk about kids' podcast. That's not radio. Yeah, it's getting experience, and it's getting some of those bad flight miles out of the way because you're getting on the air, sort of. But you're not learning the daily operations of a radio station. Your growth is going to be, you know, retarded radically by not getting a taste of working at a radio station. You know, Tanny did an internship. A lot of us get that. You first get your taste of it by doing that work, mostly as a volunteer. We were lucky at GN. I was one of two people hired out of 132 applicants, and we got minimum wage. I was delighted to have minimum wage. It kept gas in my 6-year-old Buick Regal.
And I was delighted to interview for intern for about a calendar year. I did my first stint over there at 1000 with you guys, and then I came here and used my knowledge that I learned over there, brought it to here because this place didn't have a lot of the same things that they did. So, you know, you combine your knowledge from both shops and try to bring it here. But yeah, I was happy to do it. I asked when they let me go from 1000 after my internship was over, I begged. I was like, please let me stay on another semester. They're like, oh, we can only, you know, give you what they're allowed to. So
yeah, it's, and I do get it. I understand what happened. It got abused, and it was a privilege to be able to afford to be able to work for free in my summers. Now, I worked at Boston Blackie's at night, and I did the Desperate House Guy, like that scam that we ran on the North Shore to get cash.
I love that one. That was a great scam.
Yeah, it was incredible. But so like I did gigs around it to have some money in my pocket. But I understand why. By the way, happy 50th birthday would have been for Nate Dogg, the creator of the lyric "Smoke Weed Every Day." Today would have been
weed
the
every day.
Would have been the big 5-0 for Nate Dogg today.
What happened?
Seizure and stroke complications, I believe, in 2010, 2011.
Hmm.
One of the great collaborators in hip hop, Nate Dogg, RIP, didn't make it to 50.
Smoke weed every day.
An all-time lyric.
Wonder if that had anything to do with it.
I don't know.
Bob Marley died very, very young, too. Brain cancer. After he fathered about 200 children.
Well, this has been uplifting.
Yeah, it has been. You know what we do when we need an uplift?
Where's Bill Walton?
I went to Harvard Westlake High School.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What's Lucas's best?
You had the silver spoon in your mouth.
Before
right?
We have to let Casey go.
Caller number 6 at 312-591-6700. You win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs against Seattle at Wrigley Field Tuesday, September 3rd, courtesy of 670 The Score, the radio home of the Cubs. That's 312-591-6700. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West champs at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale at nusports.com. Also brought to you by Nature Valley. Joe Ostrowski next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.